Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, thanking you for this privilege, for this gift that you have placed in me and in the body of Christ. I thank you for the spirit of recognition, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the spirit of boldness and the voice that you've given me, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just decrease me, that you might increase in me, Lord God. That you would speak what you would have spoken, Lord. That you would allow your Holy Spirit to minister to all of us, Lord God, what you would have spoken, Lord God. And what you would allow to be heard and what you would allow to be discerned, Father God. I ask for the spirit of wisdom to just flow through me, Lord God, and into your people, Lord God. Continue to breathe on us as you have met us at the door. And you have breathed on us tonight. Continue to breathe on us and breathe this message, Lord God. Let your heart be touched, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that this is just a word of to minister encouragement. It's not a word to bring fear or even rebuke or however you would have it to receive, Lord God. But I thank you nonetheless for the gift that you've given me, Lord God. And I thank you for my pastors recognizing that gift and encouraging me and leading and guiding me. I ask that you would just place a special blessing upon them, Lord God, double portion anointing and blessings upon them and their household and upon this ministry. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. Well, I had, as many told me, you're going to, maybe the word will come to you, like at the, you know, the night before or whatever, when Pastor had asked me to first speak, I was sitting and it was a Sunday, and I remember my stomach went whoop, because I heard, you're going to speak, and I was like, oh boy. And so the following week, I believe so, we met with Sister Annis, and we had lunch. And she said it, boy. It was that Tuesday, so it was a Sunday, and then that following Tuesday after, she said it. And so I was just the whole time prepping. I was like, no need to be scared now. It's on now. You got to go forward. And so today, you know, all this long, I kept saying, what am I going to talk about? I asked my God sister, Trinda. And I said, well, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to say? You know, she said, Darshan, you minister all the time. What do you mean, what are you going to say? And I was like, well, I don't know what to. And then, you know, like Pastor said, it'll come to you. And so I thank everyone for encouraging me and just, you know, being here to, you know, go forward in the word with me. Today, as I was sitting, and I said, Kenya, I got to go. I got to get this. And things begin to come to me. And so there was many things that kind of played up to this. Things that I have been going through quite a bit, things that I was seeing in other people, just in our nation and in our community. And today I heard God say compassion, that he wanted to restore compassion back to the people, that back to us personally, back to us as a church, as a body of Christ, and as a community and as a nation, that he wanted us to, you know, have compassion. The first thing that I was sitting and I started hearing these words, Kenya said, well, let me, she was doing my hair, I said, well, just let me write this down. And the thing I heard was following hard after God's heart, the God of compassion. You know, the thing about God is he is so, so compassionate. And that's something I believe that we're really lacking in our world and in our society, even in churches today. The compassion's not there, and we wonder sometimes why people are not drawing near to us and coming in. We have to be in tune and begin to identify and implement, you know, as Christ implemented, you know, and suffered for us. It says, let me go to my word. It says to suffer with others, compassion. I'm going to read what I read out of my King James Version and out of the Webster. The God of compassion, it says compassion meaning to suffer with others. Just as Christ suffered, his greatest suffer was when he died on the cross for us. There are some key points that I wrote was follow, pursue the heart of God. And in doing that, we must identify with the heart of God. And so with that, I'm going to go to, I don't have my phone. Oh, so bear with me. I'm going to go to John 1:12. Sam, can you bring me my mic? So, John 1:12 says, but, and this is identifying with Christ. There's other scriptures that I'll give at the end. But to identify with God, the one of the scriptures that really just began to stand out to me was John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Once you have accepted Christ, you are one with him. There's no doubt about that. When he calls you his own. That makes you one with him. It says, as you are, this is something he gave me, as you are one with Christ, so you are one with the Father. Therefore, our hearts are one. And then when we implement it personally, he took me to Luke 10. 10:33, and I think I'm gonna read 27 as well. Let's see. I'm just gonna read 27 because I wrote it down, so I must need to say it. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Which brings me to some of the things that have been transpiring in my life and what God has been calling me to do, even within our community. You know, even whether we're in a church or we're in our home, we're always to be ministering. We're always to be ready at all times. You never know when it may be that time for you to speak a word of encouragement, speak a word of life. One day, I'll never forget this. I was talking to my daughter, and I said, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's pressed that we need to be at church. We need to be at church on Sunday, and, you know, and sometimes that's true, you know, but what if I told my daughter, what if God said, and it's about obedience too, what if God said one day, you know, go around the park, maybe there's somebody you on a Sunday, you know you're supposed to be at, but you know God is calling you to go to this park on that Sunday, but you're supposed to be at church, you know, and I said, what, you know, how would you handle that? I said, what if there's somebody that very day may be contemplating suicide? You never know. So it's just about being obedient in Christ and following, you know, fast after his heart. And one day we was walking around Seward. It wasn't Sunday, but we were walking around Seward. And this lady, I didn't know she was watching me. And as we were walking, and I don't walk fast, so this lady must, I think she may have went around twice, but she sure beat us around the second time, I tell you that. And by the time we got around, and she had to wait quite a while, because by the time we got back around, she stood by her car, and she had this demeanor and this kind of look on her, and I remember just in my heart just saying, God bless her, as she ran past us. And but she blessed me as well. She blessed my heart, and she said to me, she said, you have the most amazing, beautiful smile. And my heart just dropped because I remember what I had said to my daughter. And I told her, I said, my daughter, we looked at each other simultaneously like, you never know. You just never know. That smile might have kept her from falling into a deep depression. We don't know what she could have been contemplating that day. But to God be the glory. And so, and then the scripture that was the main scripture in here was, well, they're all main words, so is 10:33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Remember, we're talking about compassion. And the reason, one of the things that I'm talking about compassion so deeply is because I see so much brokenness. Brokenness in our family, brokenness in our community, and sometimes people just wanting and hungering for that love and that compassion, just for you to understand, just for you to, you know, just have a listening ear. You may not always agree with them, and you might not always agree with what they do, but that compassion will grab them, and eventually they will do what it is they need to do, or whatever God is calling. It may take a while, you know. I'm looking at some of the things I have to go through with my son, but yet and still, God said, you can't go forward in your natural carnal parent mind. You have to war in the spirit and come in me, have compassion for him in me. And so just different things that I was seeing and transpiring. And there's a young man that God brought in my life. I said, oh, Lord, I wish you would have brought him in his life a long time ago. It's a young man. He ministers to a lot of, or I wouldn't say, I say minister because he is touching lives. I don't really know what his faith and belief is, but I know he has definitely reached my son and a lot of kids in the community. And the one thing that stood out to me is he said, you know what? I'm just trying to break this cycle, because it's definitely a cycle. You know, we tend to look at these kids and people in the community like they're just bad people or they're just a drunk. No, that's an evil spirit that has taken over, you know, because of some of the things, maybe, you know, maybe by choice of some of the things they did or what have you, or whatever may have happened or transpired in their life. But I believe it's our duty, as the word says, you know, when we take on him, we have to walk, be Christ-like minded, have his heart, the same compassion that Christ had. When he died on the cross for us. And we have to begin to implement that. And I'm going to go to, oh, one moment. Let me read this right quick. I want to read. So it's talking about the man and Samaritan, but I'm going to jump down to 35, and that's kind of 35B. I'll just read all of 35. It says, on the next day, when he departed, he took out two denarii. Amen. Okay. Two eyes. I'm looking at an L. Sorry, my bad. Then to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. When I was reading that, I was thinking about how God, something in me just jumped. And it was just like the spirit. I was sitting on my bed. We don't have to force anything. We don't have to try anything. He said, I will repay you. A lot of times I don't like to do things. I don't like to be seen. I like to do it in secret. I remember being at work and God would show me certain people. And I would write little notes, little things. One time we was at work and our job was going through a harsh time, and God began to send me. I found the little prayer closet. I did not know. I don't know how it got back to the owners of the company, but they were believers in, you know, of God too. But I don't know how, because I really didn't tell nobody. I don't know if maybe one of my coworkers. I don't know. But one day I was doing something. I was bent down. She said, are you praying? And it just tickled me, but it touched my heart, you know, that she said that to me. And we just, you know, just the things that we go through in life, we have to remember that same struggle that we went through, somebody had compassion on us. Somebody walked through that suffering with us, you know. And just as Christ suffered, you know, we're going to experience grief as well. It says grief is what I heard. Grief is a gift. It depends on how you look at it. And I say it's a gift, and I believe God ministered me years ago and said it's a gift, because God gave the ultimate gift. He gave Christ. It is in the experience of grief that you learn and know my heart of compassion. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16, as a living sacrifice. We have to make sacrifices too. When we walking down the street and we see that person, maybe we grew up with and they kind of grimy or all drunk, we don't want to. No, I'm going to go to my brother. The other day, people were staring at me because I seen somebody I had been praying for that I hope he was still alive. And, you know, people look at him, but they don't know his story. They don't know how he got like that. I know. But I was so honored to see him. And, you know, sometimes when people are out there and they've been out, you wonder, will they remember me? You know, they've probably been through so much. He never forgets me. Never forgets me. And I got up and I hadn't been able to do my prayer walk, so this week I said, make sure I go. So I began my you know, my journey, and I got my prayers going. I get over to Safeway. This young man, he kind of sitting with his head like this, and he rose up, "Hi, Darshin," and I was like, "Oh, Jeffrey," and I just went over, and we talked, and he was talking to me, and he said, "Your hair look good," and I said, "Thank you," and I said, "Well, give me a hug," and people were like, "Yes, give me a hug. This, I don't see him as a friend. I grew up with him. This is my family. This is somebody that watched that for me when I was younger." That's the compassion of God. God doesn't look at somebody like, "Ooh, I don't want to." No, his compassion embraces. Now, I ain't saying go out there and embrace any and everything now, but follow the spirit, you know, follow the heart of God. He will lead you to who you need to touch, who you need to minister to, and who needs that word. And it says, I'm saying it is in the experience of grief that you learn and know my heart of compassion. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a living sacrifice. It is the ultimate gift of grief. To a dying nation, compassion. Christ's death on the cross and the Father's compassion raising him, Jesus, his son, on the third day, that we may have life. Tell me that ain't compassion. If it ain't, I don't know what it is. That's compassion. Because he didn't have to die for us. He could have just said, "No, I can't do this." But he endured. But it wasn't even just on the cross. He endured many things that I'm sure is not even in here about what he had to go through and what he had to encounter and how he had to endure to, you know, up until the time he died on that cross. And let's see, and we have life. We are therefore mandated to extend, exemplify, and I want to read that, what I read in my Webster dictionary, or be a typical example. Represent, in other words, be a representative, the same Christ-like compassion to others and to ourselves. Sometimes we don't have compassion on ourselves. I remember reading something. It's just interesting how God will get you alone, and he'll give you things that you go back and say, "Wait, I didn't read it like that." But he's so awesome. He can change the word and how you see it in a whole nother way to get you to understand how he wants you to understand. I would say plain English. I don't speak Spanish. So he had to go plain English and change that thing on me and give it to me the way I understood. I was giving and giving and giving. And I felt so weak and drained, and I had to balance myself. And I remember my mom sending me something. I lived in California. She said, this card, it came right on time. It was like a little card, but it had a pill. It said, "Take a chill pill." I still have that card, and I read it every so often. Okay, now it's time to chill. But I remember God giving me that word where he says, "Love thy neighbor as yourself, as you would love yourself." But I, for whatever reason, I read it, "And love thyself as I love you." You know, I don't know. It was just like it came out different to me. I don't remember the exact way how I got it, but something clicked inside of me. You know, the same way Christ had compassion for us, we have to have compassion for ourselves. You hear that word saying we have to fix our house before we try to go fix, you know, other people's house or what have you. Well, you have to learn to love yourself. You have to know how to have compassion for yourself as well. And then sometimes even in that ministering, out of your brokenness and that compassion, you begin to receive compassion. You know, you're not selfish with it. Let me see. I want to make sure I'm getting all the scriptures that. And then I want to mention imitate. We want to be imitators of Christ, imitators of his love, imitating his compassion, suffering for doing good, being like-minded. 1 Peter 3, 8. Let me go there. Oops. You have to bear with me. I'm starting to learn how to juggle the phone, that phone thing. I watch Pastor. He goes so fast. I said, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I'm so old-fashioned. I don't use the dishwasher. I don't know. I'm like, okay, I don't think I come from this aura. Something, I don't know what's wrong. But I be watching Pastor. And then I saw his mom. She was working that thing. And I said, ooh, I better get good with the time. Because I said, mom over there working. And she just, I was like, yes, I love it. I love it. She's still in good health and good spirits and working that tablet. Yeah, she was. Well, you know what? Let me go. If you don't mind, I'd like to just read it. Okay, well, let me just thank you. Bless you.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Amen. Finally, all of you be of one mind. One mind with Christ, one mind with each other. There's so much, I think it was Pastor Marquise that said that he's glad, you know, for our ministry and the love that there's no all this hoorah going on. And, you know, there's so much division in the church and so much debate about certain things. And I know there's a scripture that God says, don't get caught up in all that. You know, just be you. His glory will shine through you. It will show people what they need to see. His truth cannot be denied, no matter what. His word will never fail. So we have to imitate him. It doesn't matter if people receive us. We may not always have what to say, but just your walk. Just your walk. People draw to you. They can see something in you. I'll share. I remember I was coming from work one time years ago, and I said, I was crying at work, and I don't know what I was going through, but I was just crying because I said, God, I just really want to have your heart. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? If I'm not, I just might as well give up. And I really was brokenhearted. But when I left out of work that day, there was a gentleman. He was standing over by a coffee shop, and I was crossing like 6th and Blanchard, and I remember going to the bus stop. And he was over there. I recognized him when I was here, and he was there. He come across, and you know how you just get this feeling somebody want to say something to you? And I was, and see, this is where I messed up, didn't have to I put my head down. I was like, ooh, I just don't want this man trying to come say nothing to me. Just go on, just Lord, let this bus come. But God touched my heart, and he came up to me, and in that I did get a rebuke. Because you never know. You never know who's coming to you with your blessing. Who's going to speak life and a word of encouragement to you. He walked up to me. He looked at me in my eye. He said, you go to church? I said, yes. He said, what church? He said, what church you go to? And at the time, I was going to Victory Outreach. And he was talking. He just stood there for a minute. I said, well, why would you ask that? He said, because it just shows all over you. I could see it all in your face. Now, how you recognize that you way out this block, I'm way over here, but you, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He allowed that man to come over because of compassion to tell me, for God to say, baby, I see you, daughter. I see you. And yes, I know your heart and your love and your desire to serve me. And even though at the time I wasn't living all that right, but you know what? I'm his daughter. I'm his daughter. He called me his own. He called me by name. He was doing a new thing in me. He was drawing me closer to him. You know, even though I knew him, even as a wee little girl, there were things in my life that kind of construed my perception of how to know the truth of him and, you know, how to really walk in him. And now that that's beginning to transpire and those things are falling off that construed my vision of him and what he has for me, breaking that spirit of fear, you know, I can walk boldly in him and I can speak boldly in him. A lot of people would always tell me, you're going to speak. And I would be so shy because the way they would do it, I noticed now that I'm looking back, is they would tell me, like, write the time as. I was sharing with my dad, you know, that I had to speak. And I was a little sad today because my cousin's getting married. And I was like, I was like, oh, I wish I would have known. But then I was like, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I got a date with the most ultimate, ultimate one, you know. I was just elated. And I was telling my dad, and I said, Dad, I didn't know. And I know when my dad says, I said, well, I got to speak that. He said, well, you obligated anyway. I said, well, yes. And so he went in the room, and I know when he says he's going on that walk, I know what he's going to do. He calls it a spiritual journey. So he came back, and he came in the house. He said, baby girl, as he said, you doing exactly, he said, you where you supposed to be. You doing exactly what you supposed to be doing that day. He said, I'll be walking down lighting the 3 white candles at the wedding. He said, and you got a date with the Almighty God. He said, it's an honor and a privilege. He said that you would be able to go and speak a word of encouragement, you know, to the preach to the people. I said, Dad, I don't preach. I said, you sound like pastor now. He said, well, you know, he said, well, that's what it is. I said, well, no, let's just say, you know, I'm just going to give a word of encouragement or you know, just a minister or what have you. But he was so proud, you know, he was so proud. And when he touched me today, my dad, he had on his tux and his lavender little jacket, and he was making a fuss, was taking pictures. But when everybody left off, he laid his hand on my shoulder, and I had my head kind of down. He was talking, and he said, baby girl, you've been called to do something great. He said, you're going to speak for the Lord. That's great. He said, I'm surprised. Usually they call for the older women in the church or something. He said, the elders. And I said, he told me, he looked down and he laid his hand on my shoulder. He said, God, he's God's elect. But when he said that, something in my, just like, I heard God say, look up, look at your daddy when he's talking to you. And so when I looked up, he said, you are God's elect. Something in me said, I can do this. He had told me, he said, I remember when you shared with me about going down there to the big house, the White House. He said, and you spoke in front of all those people. They did the same thing. They waited till I got off the plane and said, oh, by the way, you're speaking. I said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And I said, then I heard what my dad was saying, and you can go speak to them, then surely you can speak for the Lord, and you can speak to, you know, in God's house. And so it was just an honor. But when he said that, it wasn't that I was just hearing my earthly father. I was hearing my spiritual father, my Abba father, my daddy, my heavenly father. I was hearing him. And so that was truly a blessing for me. And let me just get back. But I just want to touch on the exemplifying. I want to read that again. Be a typical example, represent, in other words, be a representative, an ambassador for Christ. The same Christ-like compassion to our others and ourselves. And what he gave me in that was Lamentations 3:22 and through 23. Can you put that up for me so I can just flow? Oh, praise God. Thank you. See, that's why two is better than one. Amen. The body of Christ, compassion. Amen. So thank you. And 23 after this. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassion failed not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, hallelujah. What would we do if we didn't get to wake up? Somebody didn't wake up. And that compassion of God to give us life. When I wake up, I just say, good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Welcome. And I say, come, sup with me today. And that's how I wake up, because I want him to move through me. I want him to remind me, you know, to have compassion for myself, which I need a lot of times. You know, I can be really hard on myself, you know, and God doesn't want us to be hard on ourselves. He doesn't want us to be critical, because he's not critical of us. We do it to ourselves. Sometimes he's just looking at us like, ooh, have mercy. But I just thank him. I thank him that his faithfulness is great. And that just makes me even all the more want to go out and be faithful to his word and faithful to others who need that, who need compassion. I look at so many of these broken young ladies out here, and, you know, you be on the bus, you don't know if you should say something to, if you might get bop, bop, or what, you know, but we have to move beyond that fear, because somebody, some child, whatever, is just waiting, but you have to know how to go to them. You have to know how to minister to them. You know, not everybody can minister to a game bigger or a drug addict or whatever, but everybody has had experiences and grief. No matter how that experience came, once you take on God, he'll take that experience and use that compassion and that experience. It's not an experience just to say, oh, I'm broken, you know, I can't do this. No, yes, you can. If he brought you through that experience, he will bring you through for the task to have compassion for others. And I think once the compassion is back in the church, which God desperately wants to see in the church, in the body of Christ, not just in here, but just taking that out daily, wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to have that compassion. You can read Hebrews 5:2 on your own. That was one of the other scriptures he gave me. And then I want to talk about, this kind of went along with the identity. It says, when the mind, this is what I heard, so I just wrote down what was coming to me. When the mind is not in the right state, carnal minded, we don't think straight or clearly. We move from a place of unhealthy grief and exhibit a lack or no compassion. When we go through things, it's not to harden our hearts when he allows us to go through things. It's not for us to become bitter, to become angry. But you think back on what Christ went through. All the things he went through, I think of how, one thing that was coming to me, the vision I had is when they was doing all the manner of evil and gambling in the father's house, and he went and flipping and flopping them tables. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure he was probably angry. He didn't go about it all delicately. Don't you do that in my father's house. He didn't throw the table up like this. They said he was throwing tables. But can you imagine the compassion, yet and still he had compassion for these people? Because he could have did a whole lot more than that in his anger for what they were doing in his father's house. But he had compassion. And that compassion still led to the cross, you know, where he gave them redemption. He gives us redemption to those who will accept it. You have to accept it, and you have to take on the mind of Christ. There's so many out there that I see, you know, and I really want to stay with the piece of compassion. That's what God was dealing with me in. But I also want to say there's some out there that are just not really wanting to receive. That's led into a reprobate mind. They're caught up in their own thing. But God, yet and still, he didn't turn off the world. He still is leaving things that those that are not saved may be saved. His compassion is just that great. We must be willing and ready and able to position ourselves at all times. Luke 15:20. Luke 15:20. If you don't mind. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that's talking about the prodigal son. And many of us are prodigal sons and daughters, things that we do. But yet God still always has open arms to receive us in his love and compassion. He's just waiting on us. He's just waiting. And there's so many out there, you know, who are broken, who are hurt. And they want to come to the church, but they don't feel like we have our arms open and ready to receive them as that father received his son and as Christ received us. So it's up to us to continue. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that they fly by and do any and everything that they want to do, but there's a way to go about correction and love. And sometimes it's just by our walk. Sometimes it's just the little things we say. And people are really watching. You don't realize how they're watching you. And they're just looking and observing. I was talking to a young lady who's really, really going through. And she texted me. She said, you know, she couldn't reach out to her own family. She said, but thank God that there's people like you who, you know, have compassion, who can, you know, reach out and talk to when they call or text in the wee hours of the night. That's compassion. Can you imagine if we went to, you know, God and we felt like that he just shut that door? No, we'd be in big trouble. Somebody's just crying out for compassion. And that's what I'm praying that will be restored back, that we will identify. We be that identity of compassion. I don't know what your identity may be, you know, in Christ. Your identity may be a psalmist, to have compassion, you know, minister to the people in psalm or word or a rebuke. That doesn't mean that it's not compassion. But compassion would be, it wouldn't be compassion if we allowed our brother or sister to continue down a pathway to destruction or death. That's definitely not compassion. So we have to extend compassion no matter how we see it. I want to read Jude, I believe it's 1:22, and I can read it because I wrote it down. It says, compassion, God's expression. And some meditate, meditate and implement. And some having compassion, making a difference. That's the King James Version. And the NI Version says, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering or doubt. We want to be that expression. We want to stand firm. We're not always going to be, you know, smiley and everything feeling like all rosy. We have our struggles too. But at the same time, in that, we still need to remember compassion. For those who doubt, we need to be that example. We need to exemplify, be that typical example and representative of Christ. There's a couple of scriptures I want to give to you guys, and maybe you can read them on your own at some point. But I do want to, you know what, I do want to go to Isaiah 62:1, and I'm going to go here because there's some things that I marked down in here that the Lord was speaking to me about. Let me see. For Zion, this is God's compassion that I was seeing, and it just really caught my eyes. I don't know if I know you guys have opened the Bible, something just said boop, just stood out to you. God's compassion is actually just through all out this word. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. I think Pastor was saying we got to be a light when you were praying earlier, and it just hit me because I remember that scripture. Our lamps must always burn with God's heart, you know, being Christ like-minded, standing in his faithfulness. Let our lamps burn. When we're walking down the street, we want people to see the light of God, the love of God in us, the compassion of God. This is one that's been really burning in me quite a bit lately. And I'm going to start from 2. The scripture was Isaiah 61:3. But I want to start from 2 because I think it just fits so wellly together. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I thank God, because that's what we are. We want to be that fresh oil. We want to be that praise, you know, that can lift somebody who's hurting or someone that's in a place that they just feel stuck, or they feel that they can't move beyond. I know when I get in that place, I have to go in my prayer closet and praise. And I remember, I don't know if it was Kenya sent me something one time, and it was this little, what did people call it, the memes? I don't know if I'm saying it right. Whatever them things that come on Facebook, whatever. It was some little character. And I don't know what the character was doing, but it was so funny. I was tickled. It says when you trying to sleep, and your mom up sometime in the morning praying in the Holy Spirit. And I just looked at her. I think she was sitting next to me when she was looking like she was ready for me to just, I got the text, I said. But that's the only way sometimes to come out. And when you in that place of worship, and you in that place of praise, when you're going through, it's not the time to maybe start looking at certain things on TV that exhorts that place of pain or that whatever it is that you need to come out of. You know, it's that time to get in worship, get in praise, get in your prayer calls, wherever you are. It don't matter. I can get in my car and get it popping. I have to, because if I don't, I know where how my mind can go. But I thank you that I can reach and grab on to the compassion of God, grab onto his love, and say, Abba, Daddy, I need you. You know, help me to be compassionate. When I know people have said things to me and done things to me, my kids have asked, how do you have such compassion? Because I can. If I don't have shame on me, I would be afraid, because I know what God has, the compassion he's had on me. I know what he's done for me. And once someone has accepted Christ or has believed, no matter what they have been, you know, they walk in that newness. They're still, that they may not have got there at that place of walking in that newness, but they have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so just the same way he had compassion on me, patience with me, I want to have the same compassion and patience for others. So what I would say in closing that I know God was really pressing on my heart is dealing, and I didn't know how I was going to fit this in, you know, it's dealing with your identity. Who are you in Christ? What has God called you to do to extend his love and his compassion? Is it prayer? Is it worship? Is it just providing food or giving some, benevolence? Seek him. Begin to find out what it is he's called you to do and what you identify with him, and then allow him to exalt that and begin to use that gift, because we're living in some crazy times where compassion is just all forgotten. It's like a foreign word. You know, God's love is just foreign. And we, as a body of Christ, we individually and collectively have to bring back. God is crying out for people to just draw back to him. But it's hard when our hearts are not in an exact place where, you know, in a receiving and hoping place of compassion. So I pray and I pray and I pray that God's compassion would just fall on us like never before. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.